Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is David A.R. White. You might not know that name real well, but I feel confident that most of you are familiar with his work. He is the founding partner of PureFlix, the largest indie faith film studio in the world. And he's got a new book out, and I've been reading it and enjoying it. It is titled Between Heaven and Hollywood, Chasing Your God-Given Dream. David, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, I've been reading, as I said, and I see that you grew up in a Mennonite community. That's just kind of like almost Hollywood, isn't it?
It's exactly like Hollywood.
For those not familiar with the Mennonite community, it is nothing like Hollywood.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it was a great place to grow up. I'll say that. You know, it's the Midwest is, I love it. It's peaceful. It's, you know, I got to work on a farm growing up. I actually grew up right outside of Dodge City, Kansas.
So, yeah. The heartland.
Not exactly like Sunset Boulevard.
No. How did you get a dream to do this, acting and producing and writing?
Yeah, you know, I think I kind of look at it like I was the last person on earth that probably should have gone into the, you know, into this, you know, that you'd think would go into this entertainment industry and go after kind of what I did. And but I had this dream inside my heart from an early age. I remember sitting on a tractor in the middle of a wheat field, and you know, just surrounded by wheat, this large ocean of wheat. And I could not stop thinking about this dream to go into the entertainment industry, to be an actor. I couldn't shake it. And I only told a few people growing up. I told my parents one time, and my dad had said, you know, David, well, you know, he came from the old school, and then being a Mennonite pastor, certainly hadn't seen a lot of movies.
Yeah.
As well. So he had said, you know, David, you don't know how to sing and you don't know how to dance, so you shouldn't be an actor. And from there, I stopped telling anybody. I told my my one librarian, Mrs. Thomas, one time, and she had really encouraged me in it. But I went off to Bible school. I was 19. I went to Moody Bible Institute,
yep.
Where my, you know, family had gone, graduated, and met their significant others there. And
that's where my parents met, by the way.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the place to go, you know, if you want to widen the gene pool. you got to go to Moody.
That's right. That's right.
But then I left. You know, I was only there for a year, and then I called my dad, and I said, Dad, I want to leave Bible school, and I want to go to Hollywood to be an actor. And to get into the entertainment industry. So it was just like this. It was silent on the phone.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you say? I mean, if my son said that to me, I've got six sons and a daughter. If my son said that to me, I would say, well, of course I want you to do whatever God wants, but I just can't imagine that that's what God wants.
Could you please not do this?
Yeah, yeah. Think again, pray again, give it some time. But you did it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I had prayed about it for quite a while, for about 6 months. I actually felt guilty about wanting to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't align up with anything that I had learned growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Other than I could not shake this dream. And, you know, and my parents, I think, finally started to, you know, they my dad said what you would say, you know, he said, David, as long as you serve the Lord in whatever you do,
mm-hmm.
and I think this was really hard for him. He bit his tongue a while before he could finally say, we support you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I moved here to Los Angeles. I was 19. I didn't know anybody and just jumped right in.
Now, as you wrote this book, and it's a wonderful book, by the way, but as you wrote this book, you're not just sharing your story. You use things from your story to communicate a larger truth, and that is it's not just about, I mean, we could do a whole show just talking about the importance of having people in Hollywood, in show business, in sports, in places where they can be salt and light and help impact the culture with the gospel. And that would be a whole legitimate thing. But you have in this book addressed a much larger issue, and that is chasing your God-given dream, doing what God calls you to do in the place that God wants you to serve.
Yeah, you know, Romans 12 talks about we all have different gifts according to the measure given to each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the same way that God puts different dreams inside of each and every one of us. And so, you know, instead of, obviously as parents, we try, I have three kids, and, you know, and you want to guide them in the way that you know, that they should grow up, and
right.
You hope and pray that they go into something, you know, really, really close to home and,
yeah.
And probably, you know, and steady and
safe.
Yes, and safe, exactly. But, you know, God doesn't always do that with us, and
no.
I think, you know, in the book, we talk a lot about different ways of how do you know if a dream that is inside of you is truly from Him or not.
Share a bit of that, if you would, because, I mean, you really address that very effectively. You give some basic touch points that people can relate to.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it started out, obviously, you know, I try to use my story as an example. But I don't want it to be, you know, there's no doubt about it. My story is riddled with ridiculous stories, you know, and moving to Hollywood at 19 and being, you know, basically from the farm and not knowing anybody and then being on a hit television show and then all the ridiculous things that happened to me in the last, you know, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about that. But the bigger thing is I want the book to be encouraging, you know. I want
yes.
the book to hopefully that you could see, you know, if I could do it and follow this dream that God put in my heart, then you certainly can do it.
That's great.
And so that question is, how do you know if a dream is bigger than you? And I think, you know, one of the bigger things is your dream bigger than you?
Yeah.
Because I don't think God really wants, you know, God didn't put all this stuff inside of our heart that we could just go out and do it ourselves. He wants us to be dependent on Him. He
Amen.
Wants us to you need Him to achieve.
And
because
not just
otherwise, we, you know, it comes back and we're self-obsessed. We're it's all about us.
Amen.
It's, well, look what I did.
Amen. You say you turn to God for His guidance and strength. If you think you can go it alone, then you're not dreaming big enough. A dream that is connected to God's purposes will be bigger than your resources, talents, connections, and abilities. It will tower over you and cause you to become weak in the knees. That is a wonderful description and very, very true. But then I love the fact that having said that, is your dream bigger than you? That's the first thing to look for when determining which of your dreams is from God. You said, I met a woman at a conference where I was speaking who told me she had no elevated or fantastic dreams. She said she simply wanted a loving marriage with her husband and to raise her children in the way of the Lord. Oh my! You want to talk about impossible without the Lord? Marriage and family are institutions that God needs to be invited into if you hope to have any success. In Matthew 7:24 through 27, Jesus warns us about the storms of life. He's telling us that floods, wind, and the like will assault our marriages, and unless we're spiritually prepared, these elements are bound to wreak havoc in our home lives. Now, folks who listen to me often know that that is exactly the sort of thing I talk about. In fact, I did a book called Weathering the Storms. It's recently been a series of devotionals that we've sent out to our listeners, and you know, you are singing my song there, brother. So when we're talking about, is the dream bigger than you? Sometimes we don't realize how much bigger our dreams are if we rightly understood them.
Absolutely. And then, you know, even on another side is, well, you can't let the thing go, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other side of it is so often, people come up to me all the time. They say, well, should I be an actor? You know, and I think I always say, well, if you can do anything else and be happy, go do that.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the same way, you know, with a lot of different careers. It's like they're really hard. And it's not by chance that you're successful at them.
Yes.
But if you can't let it go, then there's a, you know, and that gnawing keeps knocking on your heart, and you wake up to it, you go to bed to it, you can't shake it, and you're on your knees and you're still giving it to the Lord, then there's probably a good chance that it's from the Lord.
Yeah. You ask another question also in this regard, and that is, will you pay the price for your dream? That's a great question, because there are a lot of people who just want it to happen, and they're not willing to make sacrifices, are they?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not easy. You know, I find that a lot of times that we get so down on ourselves when it doesn't feel like we're doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Right.
You know, we're in different jobs, or our kids are sick, or we're going through tough times in our marriage, or we're, you know, there's all kinds of things that it's not where we want to be.
Right.
And instead of feeling negative toward that, it's oftentimes in those times that God uses us. He gives us the most opportunity to really think about what it is that we are desiring to do. What is it that we really want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a plus. Yes, it's not exactly the easy way, but in those dark times, in those times when you don't, you know, when you're not doing exactly what you want to do, are the times that you actually have the time to sometimes think about and to dream about and set goals and vision from the Lord of what you really want to do.
Amen.
Which is a stepping stone to that success and the realization of God's dream for your heart.
Amen. Amen. You also talk about whether or not your dream will outlive you, and does it glorify God, and does your dream serve others? I mean, those are great questions. And I encourage you, our listeners, to get hold of the book and read the way he unpacks those and helps you to apply them. In chapter 7, you talk about dealing with frustration and roadblocks and so forth. And chapter 7 is titled, When Plan A Doesn't Work. Remember, God has 25 more letters. That's a good line, brother.
Yeah, that's a funny one, but well, it's so true.
Yeah, things don't always go the way you were hoping, and even when God's in it, it doesn't mean that the path will be without obstruction.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, how a lot of times, if we can just get away from, I mean, we are harder on ourselves than most of the time than anybody else.
Yeah,
a lot of the times.
Yeah,
you know, we're constantly saying, well, I'm not good enough, or I lack the skills to go do this or that, and I think God just wants us to step out in faith, in small steps, and that's okay. That will open up many doors. I did that. That was one of my first things when I got into producing. I didn't know anybody. I didn't have access to any, you know, big money.
Mm-hmm.
Normally when you produce a movie, it you know, there's a million things that go along with it. Well, me and three other buddies of mine who had never produced a movie before all gathered $87,000 between all of us and then every you know, relative that we knew.
Yes.
And we made a little movie called The Moment After.
Yep.
And it was even too short. So we had most of the films need to be 85 minutes. It came in like at 62 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So we went back and we just shot a bunch of walking scenes
to
fill it out. But the point is that that movie ended up going so far and above and beyond anything that we would have thought that little movie would have done.
Yeah.
You know, Sony put it out a few years back. They repurposed it, and now actually PureFlix just got it.
Great.
Going up on our PureFlix platform soon, and the DVD is getting released soon again. And
excellent.
But and who would have thought? You know, and that movie, I get emails all over the world from people whose lives have been transformed through that little movie.
Praise God.
But it goes back to that thing. Take that step. Take the first step. And even if you don't know exactly what it is you're supposed to be doing or how to do it, still step out in faith on it. Don't doubt yourself so much.
Amen.
But actually act.
Well, a number of years ago, we had a wonderful young lady here, Victoria, who was one of our mentors at the ranch, at the children's home my wife and I run. And she told me, you know, Pastor Wood, I think you'd really be interested in something our church has started doing. Some of the staff in the church, and this is in a small town in Georgia, have felt that God wants them to make Christian movies. And I just inwardly groaned. And, of course, it was the Kendrick brothers. But they did what God said. And if you've seen their work, you know that it's gotten better as they've gone along. Mm-hmm. But, what you're saying is exactly right. You don't have to start in fourth gear. You start where you are, being obedient to what God has put in your heart, seeking to honor Him, and you grow.
Yeah, I know Alex and them, and there's a piece in the book about them as well, and it comes from a whole different perspective from that.
Yeah.
Which is ironic, because you never know how the rest of the world looks at you.
Yes.
So there's a whole other side to that as well.
Well, I appreciate the fact that what you're encouraging in this book is for people to trust God and do what He leads them to do. And that carries, I mean, that's not a show business thing. That's a Christian life thing.
Yeah.
And you also talk about, when is it time to change your approach? And there are some very important questions that you encourage your readers to ask themselves there. If the pursuit of my dream is hurting me, if the pursuit of my dream is hurting others, if my dream has become an idol, wow, that's something to watch out for.
Is it hurting your family, too?
Yeah. Well, folks, again, I just want to encourage you. This is a wonderful book, Between Heaven and Hollywood. It's by David A.R. White. You know his work if you are part of the evangelical subculture. If you're not,
I'd say if you're a Christian.
Well, there you go. if you don't know his work, you really need to pray the sinner's prayer right now.
And turn on PureFlix.com and watch some faith-based movies.
There you go. Now, David, again, in your book, one of the things you talk about is the someday myth. What is that about?
I think so often we're riddled with fear, we're riddled with self-doubt, right? We take that all upon ourselves and we say, well, you know what, someday I'll do this or someday I'll do that. And of course, you look in your calendar, you know, it's kind of cliche, but you're never going to see the someday.
Right.
It doesn't exist. And so it's very simple in a way, but it's also, I think, profound in a way of, again, take that first step. Don't keep saying, well, don't let fear come and take you over. Don't let self-doubt destroy what God really wants for you.
Yes.
Step out in faith. Do it.
Amen. Now, one of the things I appreciate about what you're saying and what you've written here is that it's biblically balanced. On the one hand, you're encouraging people not to fall into the someday myth. On the other hand, you have a whole chapter titled Don't Hate the Wait. And that, you know, again, balance is so important. The Bible's filled with that. On the one hand this, on the other hand that. If you lose sight of either one, you're going to end up in the ditch. But on the one hand, you're saying step out and do what the Lord is leading you to do, and the time is now. On the other hand, when you do that, you may find yourself having to wait on some things. What's the value of waiting?
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to read this chapter. I think that God wants us in the waiting room oftentimes. You know,
yes.
He wants to stretch us. He wants to teach us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for.
Amen.
And the conviction of things not yet seen.
Yes.
You know, there's going to be a lot of times in our lives, no matter where you're at or what you do, that are just boring. I mean, or they don't, not boring, but they feel boring sometimes, or they don't feel like, wow, but I really want to be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we have a tendency to look to the left, to look to the right and go, well, that over there should be me. Why am I not that?
Right.
You know, Lord, why did you let me taste my dream if you're only going to, you know, put me here in a box and take it away from me, or not give it to me? Why did you even put it inside of me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all of these frustrations that we come out and we say, and I think ultimately God wants us there to teach us about faith, to teach us that without him, it is not possible. But through him, all things are possible.
Yes.
And yes, it's not exactly the timing that we would like. You know, the farmers are the perfect example. You know, they go out and they water their, you know, they water the crops, and then they wait, you know, and the sun comes, mm-hmm. and then they wait. The rain comes, they wait, mm-hmm. right? They wait until such a time as this, and then they harvest. And I think that's the way it is in all of our lives, mm-hmm. and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And again, I mean, I mentioned earlier in the broadcast the Kendrick brothers, and in your book, as you say, you do talk about how you folks were led to go in a different direction. And God has honored both. Obedience is the key. Doing what the Lord leads you to do. He doesn't want us all to be just alike, all doing the same thing. I had the privilege of being friends with Billy and Ruth Graham growing up, and one of the things that Ruth used to say that she got from her daddy was that in a marriage, if two people always agree, one of them is unnecessary. And I think that principle applies in the Christian body as well. We aren't all supposed to be just alike. You, early in the broadcast, mentioned Romans 12. Within the body, there are various gifts and various callings, and all of us need to do what God has wired us to do. Now, one of your dreams, beyond the acting and producing and so forth, was that God would give you a godly wife. How did that turn out for you?
Absolutely horrible.
We're going to save that.
Yeah, totally. My parents taught me that at an early age, you know, find somebody who loves Jesus first.
Amen.
And so, you know, when I moved to Hollywood, obviously going through, you know, I didn't get married until I was 33. So mm-hmm. I dated quite a few different people, but that always rang, I think the most true to me is they have to love the Lord for you to, you know, before you go get married to him. Make sure they love Jesus. If you're
Amen.
Single out there, obviously, if you know, if something different happened to you and you're married now and they didn't, you know, then obviously that's a different thing. But for the young people out there, find someone who loves Jesus. And so I was going to a church in Malibu, and my wife walked in, and she had these blonde dreads, and I'd never seen a white girl with dreads before, kind of like Bo Derek was
yes.
back in the day, and but it was amazing to me, but the bigger thing was watching her during worship,
mm-hmm.
and I think that stuck out to me the most. I could see instantly her love for the Lord.
Praise God.
And that was the most attractive quality. I was really fortunate. Andrea Logan White is my wife now, and we have three kids, and I'm thankful that the Lord, I married up.
Well, David A.R. White is our guest, and I am very grateful that I had the opportunity to read this book. And David, I have certainly been blessed by your work, and would love for you to become more familiar with Ware's Valley Ranch and learn about what God is doing in this particular part of the world. This was the dream God put in my heart before I met my wife, and one of the ways I knew we were supposed to get married is because God had given her the same dream. And I would encourage folks who are wrestling with God's will for your life to read David's book, Between Heaven and Hollywood, Chasing Your God-Given Dream. God knows how to put the dreams in our hearts and then bring them to fruition in his time. And this is a great book filled with inspiration and some very biblical guidance about how to recognize whether or not this dream really is from God, and then how to step out in faith and then wait on the Lord and then watch as God does what only he can do. If your dream is not a God-sized dream, that's probably not the right one. David, thank you for being on the broadcast with us.
Thank you so much. And yeah, I look forward to finding out more about Ware's Valley Ranch, that's for sure.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.